Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil. Today, we are discussing our spiritual bond with the animal kingdom and, of course, conducting psychic readings for our listeners on the air. So we see that we have some individuals in the queue. Welcome. And we will be getting to your calls in about 15 to 20 minutes after the beginning of the show. So that's at about 10:15 Pacific. And you can make the calculation according to your time zone. But first, we'd like to invite you all to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You may follow us by clicking on the follow button. That will send you updates of our show when we schedule them. And also, there is a link to our Facebook profile. If you haven't already done so, we do appreciate if you call the show to join us on our social media networks. The reason why, that helps to promote the work that we do, spread the word of the show, and get our message out to everybody that needs to hear it, which is everybody. And there's also a Facebook. Are you okay, Neil? Choking?
No.
Did I make you choke?
No, you didn't make me choke. Swallowed wrong.
There's also a page, Neil Baker Psychic, on Facebook. That is a page you may like. The other page, Neil and Kristen Baker, you may either follow us or send us a friend request. We really appreciate if you do that. And, of course, there's a Twitter account, which I've mentioned before, and I believe that's linked under the Blog Talk Radio profile. Our call-in number for the day, 914-338-0164, and you may reach us 562-596-7818 for conversation beyond what the radio show can accommodate. So the spiritual bond with the animal kingdom, the reason this was inspired is what recently happened over the weekend at the Cincinnati Zoo, and most of you have heard about Harambe, the gorilla, was shot and killed when a child fell inside his enclosure, well, actually climbed inside the enclosure and fell in after not being properly attended to by his mother. So it's a very unfortunate event, especially because the silverback gorilla is an endangered species. And, this was a gorilla that was 17 years old, had, I believe in captivity, gorillas live up to 60 years. So he was a breeding male, and there's a breeding program at the Cincinnati Zoo. And, he was, unfortunately, his life was cut short, far too early. And there's a lot of debate over whether or not this killing was justified. And many people who think that it was okay to kill the gorilla are justifying it by saying animals don't have a soul. And, you know, they're a lesser being than a human. But, you know, there is a spiritual capacity in an animal's brain. And actually, there are scientists that confirm that. There is an author, Kevin Nelson, who's a neurologist. He wrote The Spiritual Door in the Brain. And he talks about how animals have the capacity for spirituality just as humans do, which is, I think, very interesting. And as we know, though animals can be vicious and violent, there are amazing acts of compassion. I think even in this case with Harambe, the animal was exhibiting protective instincts over this child that was in the enclosure, which makes it even more unfortunate that this what I consider a tragedy, happened. Neil, what do you think?
Sure. Well, I believe the animals definitely have spirit. And
spiritual capacity,
mm-hmm.
the capacity to be spiritual, even though the soul is not like an individual human soul. It's more of a collective soul, right, with an animal kingdom, in the animal kingdom.
And they have a certain, I mean, when we talk about spirituality, there's a link. There's something miraculous about life itself. So life has a spirit. There is a spirit in life, in existence. So when we talk about the degree of spirit, I mean, I think humans have their spirits, animals have their spirit, insects, mammals, fishes, everything has a spirit. The mountains have a spirit.
Right.
I mean, there's a, you know, when we talk about spirit, we're talking about abstractions anyways. They're all metaphorical abstractions. There's nothing about a spirit that we can say is physical. So we're not talking about the physical world, we're talking about the abstract world. But, you know, since the beginning of time, animals have been our spiritual companions. The Cro-Magnons, who were not totally civilized people, human beings, depicted spirit animal, the animal human-animal relationship in their cave drawings. And we know that animals have, are guardians, are shamans. They're in images of the afterlife.
I mean, they help to model human behavior.
Sure. I don't know if that child falling into a gorilla enclosure was anything worse than if that child had fallen into a den of thieves or the pedophile convention meeting. You know, what humans can do damage to children, as we far well know. So gorillas aren't an aggressive creature. They aren't
aggressive
animal.
Normally.
They're vegetarians for the most part. They're even more gentle than chimpanzees.
Mm-hmm. Chimpanzees can be, I mean, there have been cases where chimpanzees have mauled people, the chimpanzees
sure.
that are kept as pets, et cetera, which is why you don't want to keep a wild animal as a pet.
A chihuahua can bite you.
Sure.
But the gorilla itself, there were indications that the gorilla was protecting the child. Now, it was the humans that were acting erratic. The
right.
gorilla was gently examining the child and protecting the child, looking at the child, was curious, even lifted the child's diapers up, held the child's hand.
He did go to, now, people were upset about the dragging through the water, but this is no different than a gorilla would treat his own young to get him away from a dangerous
yeah.
situation.
Gorilla, you know, the gorilla was afraid. The gorilla probably didn't know what all everybody was shouting at or why the child was even had fallen into the enclosure. And as far as the gorilla knew, it had to protect the child from unruly human beings. But if you notice, once the gorilla dragged the child through the water, it returned to a peaceful nature, and it was protective,
right.
obviously protective over the child. When the gorilla was shot, the child was sort of anchored at the gorilla's yeah. knees or feet.
Right, he was in front
and
of them.
And there was nothing indicating. Now, people like, you know, Jack Hanna and these people who profess to be animal conservationists and animal theologies almost, a gorilla can crack a coconut
with his hand. Yeah.
But this has nothing to do with the nature of the animal. What its capacity can do has nothing to do with what we have, the human beings have the capacity to kill. So I don't, you know, we could debate this all we want. What we're here to also talk about is the link, our spiritual link. We have gotten so far away from our connection to animals that we think that, sure, there are wild animals and there are dangerous animals. But that's not our problem. Our problem is that we've gotten so far away from our organic connection to animals. Not all of us. There were plenty of people who came to the defense of the gorilla and were absolutely annoyed and aggravated over what had happened. But what we're talking about is coming back to the idea that we have an attachment to our animal companions. And there is a really deep central place where we connect to animals that we have forgotten. We used to name ourselves animals. We would animals have taught us how to survive. They've taught us how to live. Animals are here to teach us lessons. And we can kind of coexist with all animals. I mean, as far as using animals for sustenance or covering on our bodies or whatever the case may be, animals are here, we're here to bond with them in some way and not to just irresponsibly kill them. I'm sure they were trying to protect the child, but and anything could have happened in 1 second. But still, was that the most responsible thing to do when they were trying to lure the gorilla into the into its nesting area or their sleeping quarters?
Right, they used certain calls and it wasn't responding, but they say they could have used fruit and other things to lure them away. And I didn't see really, I mean, the video is only a short segment, which I don't understand why more video isn't available, but why weren't the trainers in the enclosure? Well, I don't get it.
My theory is that the gorilla was protecting the child and it didn't want to abandon the child. And it
right, I agree.
By some tidbit. It was protective of the child.
Right,
it recognized this was a small creature and it needed protection. But I've seen gorillas actually save creatures that had fallen in ponds.
Right, we just watched a video, that 1986 video where the child falls in and rubs the child's back after, when he fell unconscious after falling. But what I was going to say is about the trainers, I don't understand, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time debating what they should or shouldn't have done, but why didn't I never saw trainers of that gorilla go into the enclosure. You think that if there had been more interaction, one-on-one interaction with that gorilla, then he might have released the child.
No, the child fell into the gorilla's enclosure. We're not talking about, for whether you believe it or not, we're not talking about somebody who breaks into a school and starts shooting students, and then a SWAT team has to come in and shoot the guy. We're not talking about a raging gorilla that's, you know, this is almost like a story of King Kong almost, the gorilla protecting the human and is shot. It kind of brought up that fable, that myth. But, you know, we have to overcome our limitations of insight. And we have to think of other ways. The wildlife is fragile enough. This was an endangered species. We have to think of other ways to protect all of life. You know, yes, a rational, quick decision had to be made, but was it the right decision? That's the real clue. The gorilla wasn't about to twist the child in two. And if they had sharpshooters there that obviously killed the gorilla in an instant, you know, that could have happened at any time.
Right.
They killed the gorilla when it was in a peaceful posture.
And there was also talk of the tranquilizer and how it would take 10 minutes, up to 10 minutes to take effect, and that could have further agitated the gorilla. But I don't understand why they didn't shoot the gorilla with a tranquilizer. And if the gorilla did react violently, then shoot the gorilla. I mean, there could have been steps to get to that point of ultimately.
Aside from the fact the gorilla was raised in captivity, it had a human owner.
In fact,
animals.
It was the Karmov location. No, I mean, you know, of course, we're not going to talk about that in relation to the animal kingdom, but the animal, this gorilla, had been moved a year before from Texas Zoo. So he was not originally at the zoo. He'd been raised in Texas.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and we're talking about, of course, there was talk about the mother not being, I mean, the mother, you don't leave a 2 or 3 or 4 year old child wandering around
while you're on your
cell
phone. The
child has time to climb a fence and the mother's on the phone. The offense is with the mother, not with the gorilla who took over the mother's role. And in the best of the gorilla's intelligence was probably trying to understand and was shocked at itself over a child sitting in it, in water and bleeding apparently from the head and not knowing what to do. I mean, the gorilla showed more humanity than we did as human beings. And then, you know, the shouting and the screaming that went on was
ridiculous.
Probably not adding to the calmness of the situation. But still, you know, it's also in terms of language. We have forgotten how to bond with animals.
Well,
we just simply have.
What reminds me of, you know, there are a lot of people that have animals as pets, and they're almost like toys. They're treated like toys rather than companions. And so I think, you know, and many people that, I mean, it's a personal choice to eat meat or not eat meat. But many people, you know, have animals as toys. They're expendable, discardable. You know, people trade in their animals, they move and they can't keep them. And you know, a real experience is missed in terms of learning about animals from being their companions.
Well, you know, we have to transcend the boundaries of our own human perceptions as to what we think an animal is thinking, or how we propose to imply our thoughts on an animal. I don't, myself, being an intuitive, a psychic, and person who bonds intently with animals, I don't think that gorilla was going to harm that child.
Mm-mm.
That's just my opinion. And I think the gorilla was bewildered and confused, but I don't think it felt the child was a threat. And to me, the gorilla was probably, the instinct of the gorilla was to protect the child, because the gorilla is very close to us in the animal kingdom. And that's not, you know, we have bonds with all animals. When you really study the bond with an animal, when you bring up a tiger and a dog together, they become friends. A cat and a bird can become friends. Forget about instinct, the instinct to kill. We forget about the bond between animals. And if we're going to get to that place where we have this unique communication, we bond again with our fellow creatures on the planet, it's not going to start off by solving it with a bullet. There could have been other ways. It's a real tragedy. But I think it brings up again the idea of, how do we communicate with animals? How do we find that spiritual bond? And how do we get back to what our primitive selves knew probably more about the animal kingdom than we do with all our years of scientific inquiry?
Definitely. And so let's talk about that on Friday, shall we? And we can get to some of our callers now. What do you think, Neil?
That sounds good.
All righty. Okay, everybody in the queue is getting a reading, so we do ask you hold your place in line, because I do take calls in the order received. 561 is our first. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Neil. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, who's this?
This is Stacy. It's been a while.
Oh, I'm sure
you guys remember
me.
Of course. I'm an animal lover. Like, what?
Go ahead.
Yes.
You're 34-7. I don't remember your birth date, but go ahead, say what you're going to say, and then I'll get your birth date.
Anyway, I love animals, you know, like I have two cats that are rescues, and I just feel like this gorilla was in Texas for 16 years and was only here just recently, and that fate was horrible, and I just feel like, you know, the mother should have been holding the hand of the kid when they were there, because it was, you know, a young kid. And it's just unfortunate that it got him into that situation. It's very controversial. And I just think, how could they just shoot the animal like that? I thought the animal was trying to protect him. You know, I don't think, you know, and I wish, like you said, the tranquilizer or something. It's just an awful, awful, you know, situation. You know, it's upsetting, because, you know, I love the Humane Society, and, you know, going there to the, you know, animals, volunteer, and also we rescued cats. You know, we have two rescues. So, you know, I just, and then I told you about this. There was, I forgot. You know, some unfortunate animal things. There's a gal that was missing or something. She jumped where it said don't jump into a crocodile in a lake somewhere. I don't know if you read about that. That was like a week before.
Crocodile. No.
Yeah, an alligator. It says it's not. I think it was in Australia. I don't think it was around here that it says do not jump in, and she did anyway, and they never recovered her. They never found her body. You know what I mean?
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then there was a zookeeper that I don't know what happened. She got attacked by a tiger. I don't know if you read about that. Recently.
I read, you know, there was something about a man who was suicidal that went into a lion's den like the week or two before, and the lions were killed.
Yes.
Which is like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I heard that too. I'm like, this is terrible. This is really terrible. What did that gorilla do? He didn't do anything. He was just there, you know, and then that happened. And gorillas generally live to 45, 50, something like that. And it's it's just very upsetting. A lot of my friends are all animal lovers, and we're just devastated. You know,
yeah.
A lot of my friends volunteer for these charities, you know, for pets and everything.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. So I woke up to that on Saturday morning and yelled out to Neil and said, oh, my God, they killed a gorilla. It was very upsetting. So,
yeah
we're
because
all
I love exotic monkey pets. You know, those exotic monkeys that they have. Did you ever see those little exotic monkeys?
Oh, sure.
And they're
yeah.
in the same family as gorillas. I mean, it's not like it's a chimpanzee. You know,
right.
A gorilla is like a big monkey. So I just wanted to ask Neil, because the last time I spoke to you, I'm still waiting for a job, and
uh-huh.
I've contacted some other recruiters, and, you know, I have the skills, and, you know, I even said to the place that, you know, I was working at for 4 months, the temp agency, and I said, you know, I did an excellent job, and I don't understand why...
Right.
You know, I just want, she didn't answer. She didn't respond to me. This was yesterday because,
right.
you know,
so
I have.
Because I remember, Stacey, can I interject? Because we've got other callers and I want to definitely get your answer for you. But
yeah.
I remember in the last calls that we had, I think the advice was moving forward and not staying, keeping your thoughts in why you lost the job. Because that was
well,
counterproductive. So you just talked to your old job yesterday?
Well, no, the recruiter had sent me like other stuff, this other recruiter. I'm trying to move
uh-huh.
on by going to other recruiters
sure.
and other places. You know, I get an interview or two a week. I've been applying diligently. So what happened was she sent me an email yesterday that this couple of jobs are available within the last few weeks. She has done that. And I respond, I'm available and interested. And she never got back to me. And then finally yesterday I had messaged her. I don't understand. You know, I did my job diligently, was there, never missed a day, da 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 da. And I know I qualify for these other jobs and everything. And I didn't hear back, and I don't understand why I'm not considered. So she emailed something back about, you know, just a regular thing about just different jobs and not jobs itself. It was just like a standard email to everybody that's just basically an advertisement kind of thing. And, you know, she didn't respond with the question I had given her, and it's like, I mean, she doesn't intend to send me somewhere. Why don't she just put me on and just delete my email from her email list? That's what I'm saying. So
okay,
I just don't understand. I'm perplexed. Yeah.
So the question, let's get to the question specifically. The question is, when is
there basically movement coming? You know, even if it's another temp, a stepping stone
okay.
or something.
All right, because there's been no progress. And okay, Neil?
None.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, I mean, we're looking at two different aspects. Maybe the recruiter's overwhelmed by other people and you're not the only person. And so she's overwhelmed. Maybe she didn't get back to you, whatever. Or she doesn't have an answer for you. I'm sure the recruiter doesn't have a personal vendetta against her or anything like that. It's probably she's overwhelmed herself. What kind of work are you looking for again, Stacey?
Administrative, anything from, you know, like administrative, clerical. I have a degree in business.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So whether it's a small or like a big corporation, any kind of corporate job. I wanted to start somewhere because this is, you see, my last jobs have, before that had lasted for like almost a decade. I never had this problem in finding a
yeah.
job before, but unfortunately, those jobs ended due to layoffs.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I was there for like, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Stacey, if I'm going to try to perceive this on a vibrational level for you, without going into great detail, my vibrational interpretation from hearing everything that's going on is that you're going to be in a month. You're going to have a job. You're going to be working. So what do I mean by that is I get a vibe that I, you know, for the sake of time, I go, okay, let's make a window of a month, maybe somewhere shorter than that. But within a month, we should be working. I get a vibration back. So I think you're going to be working with probably in June, you'll get a job sometime in June. I don't, you know, you're sort of in a strange position. You're 48 years old. Your master number is 7. You're going to be hitting a multiple of 7 in a year at 49 this December. But you are virtually, you're 14 years past your prime of 34. Now, 14 is significant because of the 12 and the 2 in your birth date, 12 plus 2. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use that 14, if I may, as a symbol, current symbol right now, for this division of time between the age of 48 and 49, 49 mm-hmm. being a multiple of 7 and 48 being 12 plus 2, 14. So I think sometime between now and December, but I'm going to narrow it down because the vibrational frequency is in June you get a job. I think the job has to do with, I don't know, but somewhere in the job, I feel some theme of automobiles. So I don't know if you're going to be working for an auto company or something to do with car. I'm not sure yet. I don't even know where the automobiles can fit in, so we don't have to be specific about it. But what I will do is I'll use that as a sort of celestial, if you will, symbol to encapture my thought about it and just proceed with confidence, do everything you need to do to connect to the recruiter. I think you're going to be getting a job in June, Stacy.
I hope so, because, you know, the other one ended the end of February, and it seems, oh, my God, you know, that's a long time, because I applied to another agency, and they asked me how long I've been, when did my last thing end, and I told them end of February, and I don't want that to be a deterrent to place me something, another agency, because 4 months not working, it just doesn't sound good.
I wouldn't worry about that, Stacey. It's only been about 3 months. That's not a whole lot of time.
And it's competitive. I mean, you know, it's difficult for people to find
jobs. Do you see this new agency being any helpful, or the one that I last used? Do you think any one of them are going to come forward?
I would stick with the one you've got right now and just, you know, build, have a bond again with the person you're talking to. And give her time to respond to you. But, you know, hang in there. Let's see how this agency works with you in June. I think you should get work in June.
Okay, Stacey. Well, keep us posted. Let us know, okay?
Yes,
As soon as you get a job, call us, okay?
Oh, I will. Thank you both. You know, it's been a while. You know, it's been a while because you know, I've been going here, going there, and, you know, it's been a lot constant, but this week I know it's Memorial Day week, and most people are busy that I haven't had any calls yet this week, so
well,
I had time at least.
So,
I'm glad I, you know, took the time to call you guys, and I'm so flattered you remembered me.
Well, no problem. We try to remember everybody here. So definitely keep in touch, Stacey, and we'll be putting out the best wishes and energy for you, okay?
Thank you so much. I'd like to still listen to your show.
Sure,
so.
I'll put you on mute. Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Amy. I didn't know. I didn't hear the area code or anything.
Oh, they must have cut out on your end for some reason, but I did say 860. Amy, hi. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, where are you calling from, Amy? And what's your full birth date?
Connecticut. And I think I've called before. This was like months ago.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you, but not completely.
Oh, okay. Do you still need my birth date?
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 12/16/73.
Okay. And what is your question?
Well, I'm wondering, because I feel like I'm meeting people. This is about a relationship. I'm meeting people who are really connected and they're just complete. The problem is that the personality is there. They aren't available. So I'm wondering what's happening with me, or maybe it's both. How can I find the right person for me who's available?
Is there somebody specifically you're wondering about, or?
Well, I know it's a done deal. I can't, you know, there's nothing to say. I mean, it's. I need to be respecting that he's with somebody else. So no, I don't want to really go into that. Yeah, at all.
Okay.
I guess my more question is, yeah, do you see a relationship for me?
So there's a relationship, essentially, Amy, that just to make sure we understand it correctly, there's a relationship that just ended because the person's seeing somebody else. Do we want his birthday or no?
No.
We don't need it.
It really didn't even start. It was just we had this really awesome connection, and it was definitely there. But that I had to step away because – from the beginning, he is with somebody, so nothing happened.
I see. So he already had a relationship. You guys connected, but he's in a relationship, so it didn't pan out. Okay.
Exactly.
So you're just wondering about relationship in general.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, from there, if he's in a relationship and he's starting to explore other people, he's the one that's got the problem. You just encountered the wrong person, but he's the one who's confused. So let's not put the blame on your end, but let's put the radar better on your end so that you connect to somebody who's going to be more available than someone who isn't. So let me briefly go back real quick in 30 seconds. Were your mom and dad real bonded, or was there a separation in your experience with them?
They've had a rocky relationship, but I've done so much work on myself. I have karmic, everybody does, but I've really dug deep, real deep into the past ancestral, patterns that have been going on and on and on. And I broke a lot of patterns. I really feel
That's
like
right.
I'm a rebirth. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Okay, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so what you've got... your work is spectacular. Good for you. You've done that. There is a sort of dramatic pull in your energy. So it's like a lifeguard as opposed to a regular swimmer. A lifeguard knows how to swim in a riptide, but they still have to deal with the force of a riptide, but they know how to swim in it. That's where you're at, as opposed to the ignorant swimmer who gets caught in a riptide and doesn't know how to work with it. So you're sort of in a riptide of karma, but what you've done is you went to lifeguard class and you've learned how to work with the currents of your karma. Well, that part is good. Now what we've got to do is learn how to connect you to somebody who has done the same thing and isn't swept up in so much karma that you're meeting somebody from an old school that hasn't learned how to transcend their karma yet. Which obviously this other guy doesn't know how to do it. So I think there's something about, is there anybody born in your family in the month of May?
Yes, my mom. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm connecting to. Now, would you call your mom a strong person or sort of a codependent or abused person?
You know what? I am going to say both.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because that dichotomy is the confusion. That's like swimming in a riptide, learning how to do it. The deal is there. So what I would suggest you do is you've got to create within yourself the essence of a woman that eliminates the worst parts of your mom within your own psyche that you were imprinted with.
Yes. Yep.
So you got to go deep inside, Amy, and say, now, what parts of me do I still hold on to that are characteristic of my mother's psyche that I recognize in myself? That's what you got to clean up. You can do it by simple role playing into a different kind of attitude. But and I think that within a week or two, you're going to find yourself, wow, I just met this fantastic guy, totally different from what I'm used to, but it's great. So I think you can, if you alter your consciousness about the energy that you've been imprinted with, And this doesn't mean to say that you haven't already done it. It means to say that what's left, you got to look deep, get rid of the little tiny characteristic traits. And I hear you saying yes, and do that. And I would, my guess would be that if you do that, you're going to find a fresh encounter in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
2 weeks. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Why not? You're 42 years old. Why not? You've gone through 14 cycles of your life. Of course.
Yes.
We don't need to wait that long. It can happen that quickly. Now, it's not a prediction. It's an evaluation based on the vibe I'm getting. Now I'm evaluating how much time it might take to get there. I'm saying it could be as little as 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's just 2 weeks. Okay. Okay. And it's true. I mean, like, family pushes your buttons, you know, in the sense of the triggers. And now I'm shifting that to mindfully, like Buddha says, you know, respond, try not to react, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But it's not even a trying anymore. It's more like a natural way that I am now, that I try, I'm with my mom with love and grace, despite knowing whatever she is and whatever she's done. We all are human beings, and she did the best she could, but do it with love and light and compassion.
We're just talking about transcending a characteristic, transcending a personality trait, not transcending a
relationship,
not rejecting a person. We're talking about transcending a personality trait within yourself, which is creative and outstandingly positive. So, you know, in terms of that consciousness, we're talking about transcending the self to a higher element of thinking. And that's what I think is going to bring you the reciprocal vibration in terms of a companion.
And Amy, we definitely keep us updated on what occurs. We always like to hear.
Absolutely. So you guys are really wonderful together as a team. Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
And if
you haven't already done so, please join us on our Facebook and like Neil Baker Psychic as well. We would love it if you did that.
What's the Facebook page, please?
It's Neil and Kristen Baker, and that's linked right here on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know if you're online today on Blog Talk, but if you go to our profile, there's a link. And then so Neil and Kristen is together, and then Baker, and then there's Neil Baker Psychic. So either page can be found via the other.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And many blessings. Thank you.
Many blessings
to
you. Thank you so much. And of course, if any of our callers should desire further conversation, 562-596-7818 is the number for that. And we have 402. Good morning. Afternoon.
Hi.
Or evening. I don't know where you're calling from. Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is Sharon.
Sharon.
I'm in Nebraska.
Hi, Sharon.
And hi. I agree with both of you. I voiced my opinion on the gorilla. It made me sick.
I know.
You want to hear something?
Yeah.
You want to hear
Go
something
ahead.
Worse? Well, let's tell you something worse. I'm in Omaha, the Omaha Zoo. They shot a pregnant seal yesterday.
You're
because
kidding.
Because she wanted to nurse a baby. She was pregnant. They over-tranquilized it, I should say. They over-tranquilized her and killed her. I mean, the ignorance is just beyond. And the way they treat our gorillas, oh, God.
Yeah, that's. I imagine that Omaha Zoo is not a very progressive zoo.
Oh, it's supposed to. Oh no, it's supposed to be the top one in the country.
Really?
You know, they
really?
Put millions into everything. Oh yeah, they literally, they just, you know, millions on this desert dome, and they caught a cougar, a wild cougar, out, you know, in the neighborhood because they're moving into all the wild. You know, there's no land anymore. And they put this wild cougar in this tiny little glass enclosure where it would just pace back and forth. Oh, my God. I mean, my kids, every time I go there, I just can't even stand it. I just can't stand it. And that was my first job. You know, my whole life was going to be about be a wildlife vet. You know, that's it just makes me so sick.
It makes me sick. I just looked it up on my phone here, and I see it was sea lion at the Omaha Zoo trying to claim a newborn pup as its own, reading the headline. And it's terrible. You know, they said that we want to get to your question, but before we do that, at the Cincinnati Zoo, there was, I think, I don't know how many years ago, but polar bears, fairly recently, two polar bears escaped and didn't reach a public area, but they were outside of the their enclosures, which could have been very, very dangerous. And obviously polar
right.
bears are much more vicious
right.
than a gorilla. But the fact that these zoos are not, you know, being responsible for the animals that they're keeping in captivity is just it's
right.
despicable. It really
right.
is upsetting.
Absolutely.
It's really upsetting.
That's what I wrote. And that's what I wrote. I said the zookeeper should be fired and that zoo should be fined millions for negligence.
Exactly, because they say that the enclosure should have been doubled. I mean, they say that it wasn't really enough. There should be a secondary barrier.
It didn't even go all the way to the ground. The child crawled under the first, you know, it wasn't blocked off, you know.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
It's very upsetting. It's very
all
upsetting.
About
it's
money.
Been disturbing both of us for many days.
Right.
Definitely.
Right.
Sharon, we want to get to your question because we've got another caller too, but can we get your birth date?
Sure. 8/31/57.
Okay. Have we spoken with you before, 12/22?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, I kind of remember you. 8/9/11.
Sure.
New one. Am I doing that right?
34/7.
Gosh. Sevens and threes today. Sacred numbers. Okay. Sharon, what do you have a question, a personal question?
I'm having a lot of relationship issues.
Okay.
All the way across.
Is there a person in question that we need to get the birth date for?
No, I can't. I can't do that. But
okay.
My
right.
daughter is one of them, you know. Just there's so much stress in my life right now. Anything you can
so
tell me
kind
with.
Of something general?
Yeah.
All right, sure.
Well, you know, the energy of your life does involve in its code a conflict. There's conflict that's been basically part of your experience since you were a child. So that element, that emotional variance where you've had you're used to conflict but yet you proceed forward in life and you try to actualize yourself in the best way you can. I mean, even to the extent that you stated that you had wanted to be a wildlife vet, but apparently you didn't manifest that completely, but you kept your love for animals and your compassion and awareness for animals. And obviously you had the capacity to have children and formulate that energy. But sometimes we have a problem with really controlling our world in such a way that all of the mixed variables will cooperate with our sense of consciousness. And that's the problem I think we have on our planet, is that we don't always see eye to eye with everything. And so we've become somewhat desensitized to how others feel and vice versa. And then this breaks down communication, and ultimately it has a force of destruction within it. I think in your respect of having stressful relationships, it probably comes from a karmic strain, first of all. And what are you going to do with that? Well, to me, the way to deal with karma is to kind of work with it. I was using the metaphor before of the riptide. You have to kind of learn to work with karma because you may not be able to totally eliminate it as you might the tides in an ocean, but you learn how to work with the energy. And I think the flow of working with an energy, there are people who have been confronted by wild animals, that I was once confronted by a grizzly bear out in the wild all by myself, and it was charging me, and I just, my instincts kicked in.
How much was he charging you?
My life.
Just kidding.
Every ounce of my blood. And I just kind of worked with the energy and learned that by doing it, the grizzly bear halted its charge, looked at me, sniffed, and almost like saluted me and walked away. It was amazing, you know? And so I think that sometimes we have to look at our conflicts, not with an aggressive attitude, like we have to solve it, but more within a relaxed, calm energy. To me, you know, you seem like a very passionate person, a very caring person, and that you don't want to lose. But at the same time, there might be a certain, maybe a different angle of calmness or tranquility that you might yet explore that might bring to you a different form of communication and consciousness in relationship to other people. I think at your age, 58, 58. Yeah. You know, your zone, Sharon, you had to change at the age of 34.
1991.
Yeah. So
what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, what happened in 1991, 1992?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out. I don't know.
But did we ask you that last time?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I honestly have no idea. You know, I graduated from college in 90.
Well, that's around the area, but.
In 90? Hmm. 57.
Yeah, born in August.
57. Well, that was around 33. You're within almost a 9-month period. That's on the cusp of that energy, and you graduated. Was there anything in your graduation regarding humanities, psychology, communication? What did you graduate with?
Communication, psychology, sociology.
Yeah.
You got it.
So
all of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from you, Sharon. And I get a sense that your journey is in continuum of that theme. Your academic qualities, have you ever written anything, any papers, any books? Have you had any aspiration to be a writer, a nonfiction writer, whatever?
Yes.
Have you actualized that to any extent? Have you finished a book, started a book?
I have. I'm kind of an editor. You know, I've been an editor. I didn't get paid, but I have written a couple of manuals. I've written a couple of manuals for different companies I worked for on how to do this or how to do that, you know, broke it down so somebody else would know how to do it before I left, you know. For other people.
You edit for other people. I'm getting a vibe from you that is deeper than maybe our discussion can promote. But to me, there's an element in your psyche that you can tap into a different element of your intelligence and come up with something that's noteworthy. Now, that may not solve everything, but it may be the key to the door that opens up some of your other desires and wishes for fulfillment. So it has to do something with the quality of communication, maybe in written form, from your original standpoint. Now, you can begin that with as a thought content journal and just getting some of your expressive ideas down in relation to your observations of the world, just a personal journal that you don't have to put that much time into, but it might release something that I feel is somewhat blocking you. Anybody in the family suffer from migraines?
I get ocular migraines.
Yeah. Well, we're beginning to tap into, I think we're diagnosing you psychically, and we're beginning to tap into what is causing some problems. And this is the tip of the iceberg, but it's leading to something that could ultimately grant you fulfillment.
Well, there is something, you know, what has triggered all of this has been, I believe, some jealousy and some people trying to destroy my life. I mean, literally working at destroying my life, breaking in, stealing, lying about me, you know, and it's just continuing. And the stress of that on top of, you know, health issues is.
Wow.
Yeah, the assault, right. the assault, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the psyche assault
right.
in our consciousness can be devastating to us, and it demands a certain ingrained energy of protection. That again is another psychic approach to how we provide for ourselves that protective coating in our
right.
aura energy field. So.
Uh-huh.
You know, we wish you luck. But
yeah, and you can always call the show again, Sharon. We do have to get to our last caller of the day because we're running out of time here. But thank you so much for your contribution today. We really appreciate it.
I'm not understanding what you're telling me is coming up.
I don't know what's coming up yet. I'm right now on the radio. I'm giving you an approach to how you might resolve some of the conflict by working in an area where you're doing some journal writing. I know that sounds a little bit
vague,
but it's the best that I can grant you for the time we have in trying to figure out how to release this barrier and remove you from this resistance. So it has something to do with the writing content, Sharon.
Okay.
And that's where
all
we
right.
start off first.
Thank you.
But it's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. We appreciate your call.
Uh-huh.
And Sharon can always call us back or 562-596-7818. And our last caller is 901. Thank you for patiently waiting. Who's this?
Thank you. This is Lanice.
Oh, Lanice. I might want to get your spelling of your name. I want to guess, but I may be wrong. But I wrote it down. Let's see if I'm right. Spell it for us, please.
Okay. Lenese.
Okay, I got it wrong.
Okay.
But that's okay.
I
have it right now.
Okay, my birthday is July 5th, 1963.
And she has a 7-3. That's interesting. Got a lot of 7-3s today. Go ahead, uh-huh. Go ahead, Lenise. Where are you calling from? 1222.
Memphis.
She's a 32.
And I have
adding it up.
I have another birthday, if you could look at both of those together.
Sure. She's 12, 22 plus 9 is 31-4. Sorry. She's 31-4. 7-5-63, is that it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And the other one is 7-2-63.
Oh, okay. All righty. And that would be a 30 equals 3. No, what am I doing? 9, 19, 27, 9, 28, 10, 1. Okay. 8, 10, 1, right? Mm-hmm. And a 4.
What's your question?
What's your question,
Lanise? The other birthday is my friend Tommy, and I was wanting to know what do you see between our birthdays as far as what's between us, you know, the pros and the cons or anything you can tell me about those two birthdays together.
Okay, so you're romantic. You're interested in him, maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Well,
we're seeing each other.
There's a past life connection.
Okay.
Your accumulated numbers come to 5, which is the day you were born. And your days add up to 7, which is your shared month. And, of course, your years are the same.
And the 7s add up to their karmic numbers. I mean, their master numbers, 1, 4, 7, uh-huh. and 7.
The problem, one of the interesting divisions between the two of you, if we may examine that just for a second, is the fact that his energy is compounded. So that sometimes results in a divorce. There's some other agenda going on with this man that could be in conflict with the natural flow of your energy with him. Has he been exposed to any kind of divorce or his parents divorced or anything like that?
He's divorced.
Well, that's what I'm getting. Now, that divorced energy, that is a whole different karmic element that he was involved with in this lifetime that is apart from you. It's a whole different chapter excluding you. But what happens is that because he's also involved with you, the energy of that can still be something he's working out in some kind of more subtle, complex form. Once that's gone, the connection between the two of you has a really nice energy between it, because potentially the two of you can get along for the rest of your life. There doesn't isn't anything marked in your journey with him that says in a commanding way that you guys are never going to make it. In fact, the journey between the two of you is like a river. You can flow down it, and you know, depending on how you create your journey with the person. So it can be a very creative journey and fulfilling till your dying day. And I don't think there's any sheer prediction that's going to say it's going to end or it's going to succeed. I think the prediction involves the creative pool, if you will, that the possibility of you sharing a lifetime with this person can be permanent, at least in this lifetime. I'm seeing two other children somewhere floating around. Does somebody have children?
I have one and he has two. Of course, they're adults.
Yeah, they're adults. But the two children, well, you have one. See, the two children, again, I'm drawn over to his energy. So he's got a certain karma that if I were in your shoes, I'd be thinking, okay, this guy's got a karma apart from me with somebody else. And that journey, how he works that journey out throughout his lifetime, can either make or break our relationship. So you have to kind of gauge that and be adaptable to broad ideas as to how we bring karma in as individuals and how separate karma can affect the other party. But if you get that done, I'm also seeing a lot of color. So there's an artist or an artistic person somewhere in the scope of this story.
That would be me.
Yeah. So I think, Lanice, that what we're doing is we're starting to travel down this, your world, your life. And what we're finding is we're traveling down that indeed you and this individual can make it. There's every possibility for this world to open up for you. Now I'm talking on a psychic perception of this. So it's good news, but it's creatively a contingent on the attitudes of the two people.
And Lanice,
what
were you going to say quickly? Because we're at our 60-second mark here on the show. But
okay, I was just confirming that he thinks that it can work. And does he have to finish up the karma with his first wife first?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Yeah.
Does he have to finish the karma with his first wife first before we can proceed
It can be successful, naturally?
Well, of course, we're defining the fine-tuning of what that karma resolution is about. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be an internal energy, a thinking energy.
Yeah, because it doesn't always have to – resolving karma doesn't always mean there has to be this closure. I mean, in a marriage, of course, there needs to be closure. But, you know,
I know he's still angry with her. I still sense some anger there. Yeah. And I was thinking about
That anger is destructive. It can spread into your connection with him. So, you know, he's got to resolve that, at least in a way to where it doesn't off balance his connection to you.
And Lanice, you're always invited to stay in touch with us or for future or for further conversation, 562-596-7818. Further and future conversation. But we appreciate you finding our show.
Well, I'll call back about it.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, take care. Hopefully that clarified something, at least on a preliminary level for you. We're back on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, and we hope to hear from all of you then. Bye-bye.